Please pray with me. Dear God and Father, during this Lenten season, we recognize our sin, recognize our separation from you. We identify the sinful humanity with the denying Peter, with the betraying Judas, with the fearful disciples, the jealous Jewish leaders, dear Lord, with sinful people right down to our own time. We know that we need an advocate, we need a mediator, dear God. We pray this morning as we once again think about Jesus Christ as our mediator, might guide us by your Spirit for these few moments of meditation. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning are found in the verse just before the scripture text that we had read from the lectern. It reads there, and it introduces that section as follows. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who have been called by God may receive the eternal blessing that God has promised. Certainly, this is a time of Lent, a time of thinking about our guilt, about sin, about separation, about the need for a way of bridging the gap, as it were. Yesterday, we considered the mediator. We thought together about what a mediator is, about what a mediator is not. Today, we want to think about the mediator in context. Christ is the mediator of a new covenant. In order to have a covenant, you must have two parties. There must be a recognition between those two parties of each other. There must be at least the possibility of a relationship between those two parties in order to have a covenant. In our text, the parties involved are the Almighty Creator God and we human beings. Here at the seminary, we take that very much for granted. It's in place for everything that we do. It's based on a distinction that we have in our minds between the natural and the supernatural, between the human and between the divine, between we, the worshiper, and the deity. But you know, not everyone makes the same set of assumptions that we do, particularly here in America. People live in a world of things. They live in a world of technology. For many Americans, our assumptions about reality are not really all that obvious. For our fellow Americans, the reality of the deity and the divine are not all that concrete as they are for us who sit in this chapel this morning. In fact, for many, the whole idea of the supernatural is a little bit fuzzy and probably even very much in question. As I think about it, I'm reminded of the 80-year-old woman who sat next to me on the plane coming back from Chicago a few weeks ago. We started talking. She mentioned to me that she had always been a faithful member of Sunday school when she was young, and even till today, she was a member of the church. She repeated the stories about Jesus, about his death, about his resurrection. And then as we talked more, we recognized the fact that we both were not as young as we had once been, and that there would be a time that we would die. And so I began to rejoice with her about the idea, about the reality of heaven. And immediately she said to me, "Oh, no, science has disproved all of that. I'll simply be going back to the dirt. Simply going back to the dirt. No creator. No moral universe, no God to norm the content, behavior of human beings, no universal ethical system, no sin, you know, no real need for a mediator if God is understood as non-real or as mythical or as in the realm of Santa Claus and fairy tales." It seems to me that as pastors and as future pastors, we need very much to realize that agreement at this most basic level in worldview is vital if we are going to communicate the good news and if the communication of that good news is really going to be understood. For instance, in the conversation between Jesus and the rich young fool, there were many things that were not understood. But one thing that was understood and accepted from the beginning is that there was a Creator God who had the right to norm reality, who had a right to set rules, who had a right to describe what the relationship was. Jesus and the rich young fool shared the basic understanding of what a Creator God was. And so when Jesus said, "There's only one who is good," it was possible for the man with some help to understand what Jesus was talking about. That often is not the case in the world in which we live. And I'd like to begin our thinking about Lent and our communicating of the good news in Lent by recognizing that one of the greatest challenges today is to recognize ourselves that there has been a tremendous erosion of the first article in our midst. Today, preaching the good news about the mediator Jesus Christ may well need to start out with a very straightforward apologetic for the fact, or several facts. First one of those being, man is more than an animal. Secondly, a transcendent Creator God is real. The abstract is as real as the concrete. The supernatural is as real as the natural. It seems to me with each passing decade, it becomes more and more necessary not to take the idea of a transcendent Creator God for granted. We must recognize the need to establish that fact, that God exists, that He has the right to have a relationship with every man, woman, and child on earth, that He has a right to norm that relationship according to His will. And yet, if in fact there are the two parties, and we've established that there are the two parties, that's still the parties of the sovereign God and human beings. That still does not demand the presence of a mediator. In fact, if we look back to Eden, there was no need for a mediator. Adam and Eve and God walked and talked in the evening in the garden without shame, without guilt. There was no separation. There was a total open communication and relationship between them. There was perfect understanding and harmony. There's no need for an interpreter. No need for a mediator. Sin changed all of that, however, when man fell for the temptation, when he challenged the sovereign God by eating the forbidden fruit, the free and open relationship was broken. God came back then to talk to Adam and Eve. You see that Adam and Eve were afraid. They were ashamed. They were not ready to come forward. They were self-conscious. They even knew that they were naked. They had broken that totally open and free relationship that existed between themselves and God. You know, they also had broken the harmonious relationship between each other. It was then that they recognized the difference. They recognized that they were naked. They were in need of a mediator. They were in need of a go-between to intervene, to reestablish a positive relationship. Now, the ideal mediator would have to have several credentials. First, he would have to have a full identification with the sovereign God. He needed to be true God. He would have to have a full identification with human beings. He would need to be true man. In fact, this mediator would have to be more than an advocate or a persuader. He would have to be someone to remake, to rebuild the relationship. Jesus did just that. He came in and He replayed the tape, we might say. He took Adam's place right from the start. He did it all over. But this time, He did it without sin. That is, He needed to be like Adam, a true man, before Adam fell into sin. A true man, but never a sinful man. He needed to be vulnerable to temptation. He had to be placed into a position where he could be tempted, just like Adam and Eve were, but in that position, never succumbed to that temptation of sin. In fact, he needed to be more than that. He needed to be someone that could pay the price of the rebellion of Adam and Eve and the continued rebellion of their descendants and ourselves even until now. That's why he had to go to the cross. That's what this season of the year is all about. It wasn't enough for him to replay the tape and not sin. He needed to pay for all that sin that had already been committed and that would be committed. So we read then in our scripture lesson from the lectern that he poured out his blood so that we might have life. What then is the work of the mediator? Our scripture lesson is really very instructive in this point. It talks about the Old Testament sacrifice there, the animal sacrifices. And it shows that these animal sacrifices pointed forward and they in fact had their full content in the one for all sacrifice that Jesus Christ carried out for us on the cross. And even those Old Testament sacrifices were sealed by the shedding of the blood, the sprinkling of the blood onto the congregation as well. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, Jesus promises life to all who believe in him. He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies." And so our text, our scripture text from the lectern points out that the New Covenant is like a will. Only after the one who had given the will, only after the one who had given the promise had died, did the will really become operative. Did it come into effect? And so it was. When Jesus said, "It is finished," on Good Friday, then it was possible for this will, for this covenant to come into effect. It was possible for the mediation to actually take place and for the reestablishment of the relationship to take place. This concept is summed up very, very well for us in that most important passage, 1 John 1:7, where it says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin." Without the shedding of blood, without Christ's death on the cross, there would be no mediation. There would be then no redemption. But the work of the mediator doesn't end there. Rather, it radiates out in two directions. First, to the sheep that already know and follow him, and then also to his role as the good shepherd, in which Jesus says in John 10, "There are other sheep which belong to me. They are not yet in this sheepfold. I must bring them too." And I'd like to underline that word, "I." There's that perfect mediator. It didn't end at the cross, you know. He's continuing. "I must bring them too." He's always doing the work. What a joy it has to be for us during this season to know that Jesus continues to go out to seek to save the lost through us, through you, through me, through the message, through the Word of God and the sacrament about repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that word which we share. We share it not only to nurture each other and for those that are within the church, but also to reach out to those other sheep, to all nations in all the world. So we can conclude by saying that the mediation then of the mediator goes on as we communicate the good news, so that the Holy Spirit can actually build a necessary bridge of faith between objective justification on one side and subjective justification on one side, on the other side, in the hearts of those who he has chosen to be his own son. Thank God, by faith we are among those, and we become part of him in that continued work of calling those other sheep. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.